superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
I'm Terry Zachary.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
This is the game right here.
Who you got in this game?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I think I'm going to go with Arizona tonight. What about you?
Shotgun snap to Murray. Drops back to throw.
Arizona. I'm going with Arizona.
Look, gets hit. Goes down. And the Hawks are going to win this game.
Today's guests, Pro Football Hall of Famer Troy Aikman from NBC's Football Night in America, Michelle Tafoya, plus actor Rainn Wilson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, it is this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. I am your host. I'm wearing just a shirt today, just a blue shirt today.
No sweater?
No sweater today, I am wearing pants.
Oh, thank goodness.
Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Just want to get everything handled. Oh, wait a minute. I got to turn my best dad ever sign right around. Now we can start this show. My name is Rich Eisen, and we've got ourselves a Week 11 kickoff that went down last night to talk about. Good to see you today, Christopher
Hey,
Brockman.
Bud, what's happening?
Well, we do have one late add to our guest list.
Okay.
The Prez. Jamal Adams.
Hey, all right.
Will join us.
Big win last night.
Big win last night. And part of it, a large part of it, I would say, is the Seattle defense showed up in a big, bad way.
Big game. Too.
Best performance of their season to date. No question about it. Eye test would tell you that, especially since they started the game with 2 3-and-outs. Of the Arizona offense, 2 in a row. The Arizona offense that came in with all that momentum, the Hail Mary, as we all know, so on and so forth. But the metrics don't lie either. In that overtime victory for Arizona in Week 7, last time these two teams met, not a single hit laid on Kyler Murray. Not a single quarterback hit of Kyler Murray in that game. How about that? Played damn near 5 quarters. Not a single hit on Kyler Murray. Last night, 3 sacks, 7 quarterback hits.
Oof. He got beat up.
Big difference. Big difference, including the final sack of the night on a 3-man rush. Think about that. 4th and 10. They clean it up. Lock it up. With a sack on a 3-man rush, and the guy who provides the sack is Carlos Dunlap, who, as we all know, was acquired by Seattle just a couple of weeks ago after he earned his exit visas from Cincinnati.
Yes, he did.
Instagramming out information on grease boards that should not be made public. Hey, look, man, this is what the Seahawks do. This is what they do. They find players for their system, whether it's in the draft that people don't draft in the top 4 rounds, 5 rounds. Or it's somebody like Carlos Dunlap. John Schneider is connected to Pete Carroll, is connected to John Schneider, who's connected to Russell Wilson, who's connected to this team on the field. And Jamal Adams is a big difference maker. He is one of the top pass rushers in the league, and he's a safety. That's what makes him so damn valuable. He's just a wild card. Put him in the box. He's not one of those guys that's going to patrol the secondary like your typical, if you will, thumping safety in the back, come up with some picks, lay the wood. He can do that. But what he does better than anybody else from that safety position is go ahead and hit the quarterback, and you don't know where he's coming from, and he'll freelance. And it's the sort of stuff that apparently drove the Jets so crazy that they had to get him out. Wouldn't sign him long term. So, Jamal Adams is going to join us on this show. Arizona made too many damn mistakes last night. They were false starting like the building was full of 12s. They also, last night, Dre Kirkpatrick last night, I mean, throwing a punch or slapping around just when the Cardinals were getting the Seahawks off the field. It looked like DK Metcalf was throwing a punch and might get the gate, and then they come out and they say it's on Arizona. 15-yard penalty first down, and Seattle took advantage of that. Great night for Fitz. Larry Fitzgerald with eight catches, 62 yards, and he was definitely fouled, I think, on that dangerous throw. I think it was second and 10.
You think so?
Diggs arrived early, bro.
I don't know.
But it was also a throw into traffic. And when you're thrown into traffic, it's kind of like one of those flags or one of those whistles you don't get in basketball when you're kind of driving into traffic and you're expecting contact.
Yeah.
Or if you're an official, the contact happens and it's just part and parcel.
I thought Diggs kind of had position in front of where Fitzgerald. If they were going to throw a flag, I thought it would be on Bobby Wagner.
I thought he got hit late. I mean, I thought he got hit early.
Yeah.
I thought he got hit early, but, you know, everyone was going for the ball. I get it, but he arrived early. Lockett made a beautiful, beautiful move on Patrick Peterson for the second touchdown. DK Metcalf on a fire drill score to get everything started. Russell was doing Russ things. And Carlos Hyde, that'll also show you, too. Big difference as well. Last couple weeks, no Hyde, no Carson. A lot of DJ Dallas.
Difference maker. Scarborough got into it last
night. He did, and then he got hurt. And also, I want to send my best to one of my favorites, man. One of my favorites, and he's going to have a lush career in this business when he does hang him up, and I hope this was not the end of his career last night. But Greg Olsen has a significant foot injury, and he does hope to come back this season.
Yeah, Pete Carroll said it was a ruptured plantar fascia.
And so he does hope to come back this season, that it is something that might be able to heal in time if they do make a nice long run into January. But that's a win the Seahawks needed to have. Should have understood that Pete Carroll hasn't lost three games since 2011 for a reason. Russell Wilson's never lost three games in a row. That's what I meant, in a row.
Yep.
Last time the Seahawks, they had a two-game losing streak going into last night. The loss against Buffalo and then the Rams. That last time they lost 3-0, we looked that up. It was Charlie Whitehurst.
Oh, clipboard Jesus.
Losing one in week 7, and then weeks 8 and 9 were lost consecutively by Tavares Jackson way back in the 2011 season when Russ was getting things done for Wisconsin. So I should have seen that one coming. And the fact that Jamal Adams is getting back in there significantly. And Carlos Hyde, again, was a difference maker. Do not forget that Carlos Hyde was a 1,000-yard rusher for the Houston Texans last year. That was significant. Scored a touchdown last night on the ground, providing the necessary pressure removed from Russ. He didn't have to do all the cooking. Their offensive line performed well. Center last night, never played center before. Got caught.
It showed in the beginning.
I know. I got caught a couple times for holding. There were also, last night, the safety that Arizona got called for. Can you review whether a hold is technically, is it like getting out of the end zone where all you need to do is just cross the goal line and you're not technically in the end zone for a safety
the
in
the
same
way that if the hold starts outside the end zone and continues into the end zone, that it's not.
It started
the
outside the end zone.
Right. So that technically shouldn't have been a safety.
I got on Cliff Kingsbury on Twitter for
a weird challenge.
Yeah, it wasn't weird in retrospect. I should have recognized that Hyde did jump on top of the football. And the clock would have been running, and Arizona most likely would have called a timeout anyway. You might as well use one of your two remaining challenges with just 30 seconds left in the challenge period of the game. And if you're going to use a timeout and lose a timeout anyway, you might as well just get your double your money's worth and get a challenge out of it too. Roll the dice, you know, pull the arm on the one hand, one arm bandit, and see if it comes up jackpot for you. It didn't. And Arizona, again, just too many mistakes, man. too many mistakes. And Murray didn't look himself. And that's one of the things we're going to ask Troy Aikman, who called this game last night. We're going to ask him about in 10 minutes' time when he joins us. He called the game last night with Joe Buck. And he called it out. Murray looked hurt. He said after the game he was okay, he was good. But they were applying heat packs to it in the first half. Second half, a lot of balls were wobbly. At one point, he's running to his left.
Yep.
At one point, he's running to his left and has an open DeAndre Hopkins. Wild. If he hits in stride, DeAndre does one of those, snatch it with one hand, then gain 10 yards with just three strides type.
Yeah. Easily a 20 to 30 yard gain and just completely missed it.
And again, you know what I mean, too? It's DeAndre. This is definitely fantasy related because I have him in two leagues, and so I watch him intently every single. Is there ever a question? I've mentioned it before. I might as well say it here again. Is there ever a question when he's on the boundary whether he got both feet in?
Never.
Right?
Never.
Never.
Never. And it happened three or four times last night, very close to the boundary. Don't even question. He got that.
Even when he's rolling on the ground, was part of his butt out of bounds.
No.
He is unbelievable.
One of the best ever.
And I will say this, too. Tyler Lockett is entering elite category if he's not already there. Mm-hmm. When he caught that touchdown in the corner, there wasn't a question in my mind that he didn't dead leg it. Of course he did.
And there wasn't a lot of room.
I know. He's so good.
Yeah, he's so good. Slippery.
Fun game, man. Just a fun game to watch. You know, and Arizona's still got two games against the Rams left. They split that season series. They've got another game with the 49ers left. This division's totally up for grabs. But Seattle had to have that. They could not lose three in a row and get swept by Arizona. That would have been very, very difficult for them. That would have, by the way, that would have given them three losses in the division. That would have given them three losses in the division, needing to win the last two games of the year just to go to 500 in the division. Could you imagine how damaging that would be? They would not be able to finish better than 500 in the division, and they would have been swept by Arizona, and they would have lost three in a row. That would have been very damaging for this team last night. But they survived it, and they got it done.
And they got an easy next four. Well, not easy, but favorable next four games.
Well, I mean, you don't mind putting that up again one more time, Don Bowie. There it is. Next four games is a Monday nighter at Philadelphia. Then they've got the Giants. And then a Week 14 game that I'm eager to ask our second-hour guest about, Jamal Adams, taking on the Jets.
Jamal Adams is going to have two pick sixes, four sacks.
I think it would do a disservice to the shape of a circle to say he's circling that game. You know how sometimes you put a little bit too much pressure on your pen on the paper and it rips it through?
He's gone through a few calendars trying to circle that one.
Another thing we're going to talk about with Troy Aikman is the news that apparently, according to all reports, the New Orleans Saints this weekend against the Atlanta Falcons will not start Jameis Winston. They're going to start Taysom Hill at quarterback. And that's out there. And just in case you're wondering, well, maybe Taysom gets the start and then Jameis will come in and they'll go back and forth between different styles of play. Adam Schefter tweets out, Winston's not part of any offensive packages Sunday. Not a single one.
Oh.
And Taysom's the QB. That's it. Taysom Hill is the quarterback. And Jameis will just be the backup in case of emergency. And this is just a great piece of deliciousness to me. Because what this means to me is the New Orleans Saints are going to play football in a style that we've seen out of the Ravens. Okay. Name any quarterback who could take off and run. Maybe it'll be similar to Kyler Murray. It's just, he's not as fast. He's just big. He's just big, big, big.
He has more career touchdowns than pass attempts.
Nobody's as fast as Kyler Murray. But I'm just saying, name, like Russ, name somebody who, when the play breaks down, can just take off and run 4-4 like Taysom Hill can. Name somebody who could throw it and still do that. It's a very small subset. Name somebody like Sean Payton who can dial up the plays like Sean Payton. His name is Sean Payton, and he's the one who's doing that. And they're doing it within a week. They're doing this within a week. They're installing this offense within a week, meaning whatever plays that have been in the playbook that they haven't touched upon with Taysom Hill or already have done, it's coming Atlanta's way.
He takes a lot of hits, too. If I was Jameis, I would stay ready.
And my sense, in case anybody's out there wondering, why would this get out? Like, wouldn't it behoove the Saints to just keep everybody guessing?
Yeah, what do the Saints get out of, you know, semi-announcing this via sources?
First of all, I don't know. You know, things get out. People talk. It's not like, I can't imagine it's Sean Payton calling up Ian or Adam and saying, hey, here's a scoop for you. We're going to go with Taysom Hill. Because I think his choice of that would be Glaze to begin with. As you know, players talk to agents. Hey, guess what?
Yeah, man. Taysom's getting all the ones.
Yeah, we just finished practice, yeah. And guess who got all the ones, and guess who basically is our quarterback this week? Right. It gets out. Everything gets out. There really are no secrets in the NFL. If you can't play man, you can't play zone. You can't read man, you can't read zone. Everyone's going to know. There's really no secrets. And in terms of maybe keeping it under wraps completely and, you know, threatening your team with any sort of harsh penalty by letting anything get out, Sean Payton, to me, is the personification of, I don't care if you know, try and beat it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right.
You know, everybody's saying this offense isn't sustainable with Baltimore. You're already seeing the regression of Lamar, and this offense isn't sustainable with this quarterback or that one, or you call it gimmicks, you call it gadgets. Just you wait to see my twist on it. And I thought this was coming last year. I really thought this was coming last year when Breeze hurt his thumb and they made the decision to go with Teddy Bridgewater. And that worked out to the tune of 5-0. I can't wait to see this. This makes New Orleans Atlanta that much more must see. And congrats to anybody out there who's got Taysom Hill with a tight end designation to play a quarterback at the tight end spot this week. Well, because that's coming in your fantasy league against you or for you.
Rich, I was just thinking, it kind of does make sense, though, right? Because we all kind of realize that Jameis is in New Orleans, not for a long time, but a good time, right? He's probably not in their future plans.
So maybe
give Taysom a shot to see what he
can
do.
I don't know if you can say that with certainty, TJ. I know that could be an indication here. I know, having spoken to a bunch of people for many a moon, that the reason why they paid Taysom Hill all this money is they really do believe he is potentially the successor to Drew Brees. And then you got to have a third viable option right there because you are playing this guy on various phases of the game. And I can't wait to see what he looks like. What if he comes out, wings it around, and runs it around, and is just a dynamo, which you would have to expect. The possibility of that happening is considerable because of who's dialing the plays and the weaponry he has at his disposal. And we're assuming Kamara is going to be healthy to play in this
game. The thing is, we've never seen him winging around. 10 for 18 in his career.
Well, I think Sean Payton has in practice.
Yeah, probably.
I can't wait. I really can't wait. And I can't wait to hear what Troy Aikman thinks about all this. He's first up. Jamal Adams after Troy, fresh off of that big Seahawks victory. Michelle Tafoya getting ready to patrol the sidelines of Sunday Night Football of Chiefs and Raiders. And Rayan Wilson will be joining us. He's a diehard Seahawks fan. We're set up for success on this Friday. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. Hey, everybody, if you're a business owner, you don't need us to tell you that running a business is tough, certainly these days. But you might be making it harder on yourself than necessary. How about that? Don't let QuickBooks and spreadsheets slow you down anymore. It is time for you to upgrade to NetSuite. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the information you need when you need it. Ditch the spreadsheets and all the old software you've outgrown. Now is the time to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need all in one place instantaneously. Join over 22,000 companies using NetSuite right now. So let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/rich. Schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/rich. netsuite.com/rich.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Ready to get away from it all? Free yourself with Pluto TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No contracts, no subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android or iPhone and start watching now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Back here on Peacock. We didn't even ask our poll question. Let's unpack it real quick right here, Chris, before we get to Troy Aikman and the radio audience returning.
Okay, guys, it's the anniversary of one of the craziest endings in football history, the Stanford band coming out on the field against Cal. That's today, on this day in history. What's the craziest on-field sports disruption? Here's what I came up with.
Yes.
Stanford band, the Malice in the Palace, which was the anniversary yesterday.
That was it. So the anniversary of Malice in the Palace yesterday.
Yep.
Today is the band on the field. Oh,
and how about these other two, Rich? I know we mentioned two baseball ones, but what about the Super Bowl blackout? And then Fan Man. Remember the dude who parachuted into the ring during Holyfield Riddick Bowe? Yep.
Oh, watching that live.
Fan Man. I've totally forgotten about Fan Man.
Fan Man. That was insane.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent poll question.
He got his butt kicked.
We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, as well as Peacock, NBC Sports on Peacock, back here on our Sirius XM Channel 211, as well as our Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network, highlighted by the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, where this man used to play a little bit of college football. Although last night that was fun. Did you see the package that the Thursday Night Football crew cut together of Kyler Murray and Troy Aikman running when they played for Oklahoma? That was fantastic. He's one of my favorite people, and it's just fantastic listening to him and Joe Buck together, Hall of Famer Troy Aikman. How are you, Troy?
I'm good, Rich. How are you?
Did you know that package was coming? Did they hit that in your meetings?
I did not. No, I didn't. All I heard right before the package rolled, I heard our producer tell Joe, have some fun with it. So, what's coming up? I haven't seen this, whatever it is. And then I didn't have many highlights to choose from. I will tell you that from my days at Oklahoma.
Well, it gave me a good chuckle. It was great. And again, it's such a great watch. You and Joe. How long have you and Joe called games together now?
It's our 19th year together.
Unbelievable.
We did. I got into broadcasting in 01. I retired in 2000. And so my first year, I was on the number two crew. Matt Mellon left and went to become the GM with the Detroit Lions and worked with Dick Stockton and Daryl Johnston. And then the very next year, Madden left for Monday Night Football, and they moved Joe and I and Chris Collinsworth into the booth. We worked together for 3 years.
Right.
And then, 19 years, and then Joe and I by ourselves the last 16. So it's been a long time. Hard to believe.
And I guess I wasn't planning on starting this way, but I might as well just keep going here. One of the greatest moments of the season on the broadcast was Joe learning that he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which obviously you did have a heads up on that one. That was so well-deserved, and it was just awesome. Troy, really was.
You know, I was not given a heads up.
You were not?
I was told to wear my jacket, my gold jacket, because it was the 100th anniversary of the Hall of Fame.
Right.
I was told there was something going on at halftime. I thought it was going to be David Baker doing something on behalf of the Hall of Fame, which ultimately he did. But then it was to tell Joe that he was going in. And so it was I learned the same time that Joe did. it's pretty awesome. You know, I mean, as someone who gets to work with him for as long as I have, I haven't taken for granted just how talented he is. I can't imagine, and there's some really good ones, as we know, Al Michaels, Jim Nance, and others over the history of our game, but I just can't imagine anyone being more gifted than Joe with how seamless and smooth he is doing a ball game.
Troy Aikman here on the Rich Eisen Show, fresh off of calling Thursday Night Football with Joe. And you and Joe are calling Packers-Colts later on this week, correct? That's what you got going on?
Yeah.
On Sunday?
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Quick turnaround for us. Should be another good one. You know, last night was an important ball game, and this is two good teams squaring off on Sunday as well.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about that in a second. But it was an important ball game last night, Troy, because if Seattle had lost that game, they wouldn't have been better than 500 in this division by the end of the year. They couldn't have done any better than that. They would have lost both to Arizona, and they would have lost 3 in a row for the first time in the Russell Wilson era. But the defense looked much more stout than it had all year long. To what do you attribute that, do you think, Troy?
You know, it's not what I expected. We had Seattle against the Rams last Sunday, and they didn't play well in the first half. But in the second half, against a good offensive team in the Rams, they held them to 6 points and did a nice job. And, you know, then they come in against Arizona, the number one offense in football, going over 400 yards a game, and they played really well. I just think that the Seattle Seahawks are just trying. You watch them, and they just don't really seem to know exactly what they're going to major in on defense, and they're caught in a real bind because of the injuries they've had in the secondary and not being able to really get after the quarterback. But they corralled Kyler Murray last night, holding him to a season low in rushing yards, and I think it's just they were effective with their blitzes and did a nice job. If they can just get, you know, the key for Seattle really has been if they just protect the football. And I know that that's cliche, and a lot of teams can say the same thing, but it's really true about this particular team. And when they do that, then they're really hard to beat. And offensively, they can be explosive. They got back to what we know they've been about. And I know that Pete Carroll, when we had them going into the Rams game, he kind of, you know, brushed aside the question I had about whether he was comfortable with how much they were throwing the football, because I know at his core he likes to run the ball. And then they had another poor outing, and Russell Wilson struggled. And then he made it clear this past week that he wanted to get back to doing what they have done for so many years, and it paid off. And I don't think that takes away anything from what Russell Wilson has been about, but they're a better football team when they're balanced and being physical, and it really helps their defense out as well. And I think that part of it's been lost. And so I think it was good complementary football. And as you know, Rich, I mean, Seattle, regardless of what it looks like, this is just one of those resilient teams that you just never can count out. And even had they have lost, I would not have been worried about them too much because, and I understand every game's, you know, a difficult game in our league, but if you look at their next four games, they would be a huge surprise if they don't win the next four. So even with a loss, they're looking at 10-4 after the next month of the season. So now that they won, they're in a great position, and they're only going to be in a better position here in the next 4 weeks.
So then who is Arizona? And by saying that, I mean here's a team that if they had won this game, could have really taken control of things and needed a Hail Murray in order to beat Buffalo, and had an opportunity if they could have beaten Tua and Miami earlier in the month, had an opportunity to take over first place then. Are they just a team on the upswing, or do you think they can actually make some considerable hay right here and right now, having seen them now, Troy?
I think that I do think they're on the upswing. I mean, I do feel that they're I don't think they're the best they're going to be. I think they'll continue to be better this year, but I think they easily could make the playoffs, don't get me wrong, but I believe that they're probably a year away from really beginning to, you know, be the team that I believe that they can be with the personnel that they have. And defensively, I like the players. They got some young players, some really talented, gifted guys that I think are just maybe a year away. But with that being said, I think Kyler Murray here in his second season has done a terrific job. Didn't have his best game, like I said last night, but they have squeaked out some games. It's part of the NFL. We understand that. But the last time these two teams met, that was probably an improbable win for them, the way that they came back at the very end and then won in overtime against Seattle, and the game that they won, another improbable win on Sunday against Buffalo, the way that unfolded. So they're probably about in the best-case scenario where they had hoped to be. As far as their record goes, they still obviously are right in the thick of it. But I think this team's only going to get better. And Kyler Murray, I'm impressed. I mean, when I watch him, he's a unique player. I don't think there's anybody else like him in our game. You can point to someone like Lamar Jackson. But I think when you look at the whole package of Kyler Murray, he's outstanding. And who would have guessed? I mean, I was talking to Joe about it last night before we went on the air, and years ago with the quarterbacks in the college level, there was still the time when you didn't want to run your quarterback in the NFL. You were worried about him getting hit, and I said, well, eventually that has to change because the college game's just not producing pure pocket passers, and it really has. Now, even us as broadcasters, we don't talk anymore about quarterbacks getting hit. You know, it's just kind of part of the deal because these guys are so athletic, and Kyler Murray's been he's been fun to watch.
Yeah, and how did you find him talking to him? Because we also saw last night, he was clearly hurt. You were pointing that out. You were pointing that out before I even noticed it because, you know, you are who you are. He was clearly hurt last night. And so you saw how he was trying to perform and fight through it in a big game, not come out or not show any more than he was showing. But when you sat down with him, I'm assuming this is the first time you saw him all year. What'd you find when you chatted with him, Troy?
I like him. I mean, he's a great competitor. I know his history. I'm familiar with him from back when he was playing high school football just up the road here in Allen, Texas, and had a terrific high school career. And then at every level, you just think that, well, how is his game going to translate? And it has. And so I've gotten to the point, Rich, with these guys, with so many players, that when they call into question whether or not they can make it in the NFL, I say, well, you know, if they played at a good school, a big school, and they played against great competition and they were able to do it in college, there's no reason for me to think they can't do it in the NFL. Those same players are the ones going on to play in the NFL. But I like his competitiveness. I like his desire to be great. I think the key for quarterbacks is, can they get locked in every week? I mean, there's guys who come off the bench and they have good games, or there's quarterbacks who step in and will play well for 2 or 3 weeks. But the Aaron Rodgers, the Tom Brady's, Drew Brees, you know, these type quarterbacks are guys who can get focused and locked in each and every week. And it's not easy to do, but I think Kyler Murray is also that type of guy. I think he's wired that way. You know, I think he was raised that way with his father. And I marvel because Steve Keim, the general manager, as you know, Rich, you know, there was a lot of risk when he went out and he fired Steve Wilks after one season and decided that, okay, we're going to make a change. He hires Cliff Kingsbury. A lot of people kind of were confused about that hire. And then on top of that, after giving up the 10th overall pick for Josh Rosen the year before, they decided to make Kyler Murray the number one overall. And you say, wow, this organization just seems like they're kind of, you know, treading water. I mean, where are they going? And it's worked out. And Kingsbury has done a really nice job offensively. He's changed some of his philosophy that's been successful. And then Kyler Murray's proved to be, you know, worthy of the number one overall pick. And now they seem to be in a good position to build and continue to get better. But I like their offensive personnel. And like I said, I really like some of their young players they have on the defensive side of the ball. And that team is going to continue to, you know, in the music business, it's a, you know, they're whatever they're ranked with a bullet.
With a bullet.
And I think they're rising. You know, I really do.
Troy Aikman, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Fox Sports, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, about a half an hour before we go on the air, word hits that Sean Payton's going to go with Taysom Hill. That's who's his quarterback.
Yeah. I'm not surprised by that. Because when we talked to Sean early in the season, they did sign Taysom to a pretty good contract coming into this year, and Taysom wants to play quarterback. And the idea was, okay, they're paying him this money in the event that something happens to Drew that he could take over and when Drew retires. And so what Sean had said to us was that if Drew Brees went down in game like he did last week, that Jameis Winston would be the guy who would come in off the bench because they had game planned for Taysom Hill to be the Swiss Army knife and do all his different things. But then going forward, if Breeze was going to miss games, multiple games, that Taysom would be the guy because then they would game plan with him as the quarterback. So I anticipated that would be what they would do, but you never know until it's actually announced. I mean, Sean could have certainly changed his mind because of all the things that Taysom Hill can do so well. But I'm really excited about watching him. What a great competitor he is, and he's tough as nails, and all the things that he can do. This will be a different looking offense, as we know. And if anyone can make it work, it'll be Sean, who knows this player exceptionally well. And it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be fun for all of us in the NFL to follow, and it'll be fun for the Saints fans to watch.
So what's your best guess? Is he going to still run the Breeze's plays with a little bit mixed in of what he's done, or they're just going to totally go, like, for the lack of a better comparison, like from Flacco to Lamar, like what the Ravens did during the bye week?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And I'll be honest, I would guess, I mean, this is speculation.
Sure.
I think we're going to see more of the wildcat, if you will, type offense. Maybe what you see in New England with Cam Newton. You know, they certainly have to be able to take advantage of his running ability relative to what Drew Brees does as a runner. But don't underestimate how well he throws the football either. The first time we met, first time Taysom Hill was on this team, this goes back a couple of years ago, I think we were doing a preseason game with New Orleans. We're talking to Sean Payton, and Taysom Hill's name comes up. I'd never heard of the guy, and he really hadn't done anything yet. They'd just gotten him from Green Bay, and Sean's talking about him. And what he said, Sean, or what he said, Rich, was, he said, I'm not saying we have Drew Brees. I mean, I'm not saying we have Steve Young in the building, but I feel pretty good that we have our next quarterback walking the halls here in New Orleans. And so, I mean, he was sold on him. I mean, shoot, this guy, I'm like, holy cow, Taysom Hill. I mean, who is this guy? And he's been a real pleasure to watch. I haven't met Taysom, but I really love the way he plays, and I think that he's going to not surprise anybody in New Orleans, but I think around the league who feel that he's just kind of this gadget guy who gets the ball and runs and plays special teams and all that, I think he's going to surprise a lot of people in how he throws the football.
Troy Aikman, a few minutes left with the Pro Football Hall of Famer. I don't know if you've had Pittsburgh yet this year, but
no.
So then I asked in a caveat, the best team you've seen this year with your own two eyes, Thursday night, Sunday afternoons.
You know, I will say that the best overall team that jumps to mind right now has been Tampa Bay. As far as what they have or what they're capable of being on offense and then how good they are on defense.
Huh.
I just haven't seen that kind of balance. But Pittsburgh's there because they play – they're obviously when Ben's upright and healthy, they're really good on offense. And then with their defense as dominant as they can be.
So KC.
New Orleans, I like them with a healthy Drew Brees. I'll withhold judgment until we see what they're able to do with Taysom, like we talked about. But yeah, I like Indianapolis, but offensively, can they be explosive enough? I think is kind of the question. But that defense, you know, it goes back to Nick Saban. It really jumped out at me a few weeks ago when he said great defenses no longer beat great offenses. And so, as great as Indianapolis has been, do they have enough firepower on offense? But I like that group overall as well.
Yeah, I know. And you saw KC and the kind of crazy, you know, reconfigured schedule earlier in the year against Buffalo. You know, and I do want to just pull on that Tampa strand a little bit here because we had Bruce Arians on Tuesday and basically said to him, you know, Kurt Warner looks at the offense, says Brady's clearly not comfortable in it yet. And would you agree with that?
I agree.
He said, yes, he agreed with it. And I asked, well, when do you think he's going to get comfortable? He joked, but one of those not really joking jokes of next spring is what he said.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I just don't know that they can get enough time on task at practice in order to have it translate. There's been moments, and we've had several Tampa Bay games already. Tom's a friend. I've had some pretty open conversations with him. It's a different philosophy as far as how he's reading things. That's taken a real adjustment for him. He's used to reading things short to deep, and Bruce Arians reads everything deep to short. And my experience as a quarterback is it's dependent on the play as to whether you read it deep trying to take a shot or whether you're coming underneath. But when you're used to one style and then you have to change it and you've been doing it for 20 years one way, it's been a big adjustment. The thing I noticed when I watched Tom, Rich, is that, you know, here's a guy who rarely would take sacks. I mean, he would unload the football. He always had an outlet on where to go with the ball. I saw him in games where they couldn't block anybody when he was at New England, and yet he would throw it away, and then when the play was there, he'd make the play. I've never seen him get hit so much as he's been hit in Tampa. And the interceptions, I mean, that's just – and then you look back and you know Jameis Winston, all the interceptions that he had last year, you start to ask yourself, well, you know, how much of it is the quarterback, how much of it is the way in which they do things, you know, the high-risk, no-biscuit type offense that we hear Bruce Arians talk about. But I agree. I think Tom has handled everything remarkably well, in my opinion, but I don't think he's really comfortable with everything yet either. But as we know, they are extremely explosive. And if he has games like we've seen at times, we had them against the Green Bay Packers. They look terrific. Other times it's not been quite so good. But if they can have those days when they're playing well on offense, shoot, they can play with anybody.
Last one for you, Troy. I'd be remiss if I didn't hit the Cowboys with you, who I believe you're going to see on Thanksgiving, right? It's going to be you and Joe, okay, against Washington and Alex Smith. I mean, that's what a great story. I'm sure you'll be talking about that quite a bit pregame and during the game. But do you think Jerry runs it back with Dak? We're knocking on wood. He's going to come back healthy. And Mike McCarthy, like right now, I know what it is right now. And the NFC East is still there. But do you think when it's all said and done that this is the way the Cowboys are going to be constituted, not just for this year, but beyond? What do you think?
Yes. I don't think there's any question they'll get Dak done. Dak's price is going up each week. He already had leverage, and now he's going to have even more leverage. But I do think that Jerry recognizes just how valuable Dak Prescott is. I've been saying it forever. I mean, the guy's a great leader. He's made himself a great player from when he came into the league and where he was projected and what he was able to do as a rookie. And Mike McCarthy, I thought it was a great hire when they made it. Felt that he, with his credentials and resume, was the right guy. This is a unique job, and it's not always easy. You know, there's a lot of challenges that a lot of people just aren't really all that familiar with, that I am, having been in the organization. So I think it takes the right kind of guy, and I feel that Mike is that guy. What happens, though, Rich, is when you start having questions, what came out a few weeks ago when players were questioning the coaching and how capable they were, that, to me, is hard to turn around. I mean, it's hard then to have players all of a sudden buy in if players who weren't buying in right from the beginning. And there's no track record here in Dallas with Mike, even though he was successful in Green Bay. But with that being said, there will not be a change at the end of this season, regardless of how this shapes up. And we're all hopeful. Forget football. We're just all hopeful that we get back to a normal life and are able to resume our normal activities. And if we're able to do that, then I think Mike has a fighting chance, along with a lot of other coaches, in being able to have a normal off season and go into the regular year. But it's been kind of something to watch from my perspective for a team that I think is talented. They've had a number of injuries, but so have a lot of other teams, but they've just underperformed.
You are the man, Troy. Appreciate the call. Great call last night. Have a good cast with Joe on Sunday and Thanksgiving as well. You're awesome. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Rich. Appreciate you, bud.
Right back at you. That's Troy Aikman, Pro Football Hall of Famer. I told you guys, I've heard the same thing. Sean Payton loves Taysom Hill. Loves him. He's going to be the Saints quarterback when Drew Brees goes to NBC. That's it. And they signed him to a contract where clearly he's valued more than just a Swiss Army knife. That's a fact. And he said earlier this year, Brees goes down for considerable games like last year. He's our guy. In the game, it's Jameis because we've game planned for Brees and his role and Hill and his role. We're not just going to switch it up in games. Here comes. I can't wait for it. I thought this is the way it was going to be last year. I really did. But it was Teddy.
Right.
Maybe Hill wasn't ready yet. Maybe he believes in Teddy more than Jameis now, which might be an unfair assessment from the outside looking in on Jameis.
But what if he stinks?
Well, there's two things. One, Atlanta is better than earlier in the season, but New Orleans should be able to win this game with an issue at quarterback then he'll – well, if he stinks, then maybe he pulls and he puts Jameis in and you could just go back to the playbook the way it was.
Right.
That's one. Two, I don't think he's going to stink. But it's going to be interesting. Oh, really, baby, will it be interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Steve Young is in the building. So he said a couple years ago, he's like, who's Taysom Hill? I know who Steve Young is. Can't wait. Oh, baby. Jamal Adams is coming up, too. Same with Michelle Tafoya. Two big interviews, one from last night's game and one from the next nationally televised game with Chiefs and Raiders on the docket. Coming up right here on the show.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah!
Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off.
Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Ready to get away from it all? Free yourself with Pluto TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No contracts, no subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android or iPhone and start watching now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls. We've got a great poll question as well. NBC Sports on Peacock every day from noon Eastern to 3 Eastern. And then we hand things off to brother from another. Take it from Dan Patrick. Also right here on the NBC Sports, on the Peacock app, Seth Meyers was on Seth last night.
How'd
that was a
go?
Lot of fun. That was great.
Nice.
So you can catch it right here on Peacock as well. So basically, there's just not enough tiles here on Peacock to contain me. That's what I'm saying. Right?
That sounds about right.
Is that a good use of the word tiles? What do you think? You paying attention to anything I'm saying right now?
Well, I'm
what are you doing over there?
Huh? I'm reading player news for the our news.
For your news update? Yeah. What do you got? Which player news are you reading right now?
Myles Garrett to the COVID list.
I heard that. Gosh darn. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network and back here on the NBC Sports on Peacock stream. It'll be a great chat with Jamal Adams coming up. Great game for him last night. Michelle Tafoya will be patrolling the sidelines, or I guess the stands, if you will. I don't think you're allowed on the sidelines. If you've seen all the sideline reporters are standing in the first row of the stadium. So
it's still so bizarre.
We're getting through it, man, but it's getting worse. Yeah. It's getting worse. COVID is getting worse in this country. We could see it. We all sense it. It's awful. And Myles Garrett went on the COVID-19 list today. It appears he has it, right?
Appears he has it, yeah.
You heard how Cam said that he wasn't mentally right coming off of COVID?
I think if you watched him play, that was evident.
And if I'm not mistaken, did you say to me before the show, TJ, that Andy Dalton still doesn't, or was that you, Chris?
Yeah, I said
that Andy Dalton still does not have taste and a sense of smell.
Taste and sense of smell, yeah.
What an awful scourge this is. What an awful, awful scourge. So that's the latest right there. Our poll question, let's go right back down to the wormhole of the toy department. What do you have, Chris, right now on our poll question?
Okay, it's the anniversary of the band is out on the field, Stanford band against Cal. So we're looking at craziest in-game disruption. The Stanford band play, how about the Malice in the Palace? The Super Bowl 47 blackout. Still can't believe that happened. And I'm going with Fan Man, if you remember. This dude used to parachute into sporting events. And he tried to parachute into Holyfield Riddick Bowe, a heavyweight championship fight, missed the ring, and then got his
absolute butt kicked in the stands.
So just in case you're wondering.
I posted the YouTube video.
If you put fan man as one word, it comes up various forms of fan stores in your area. If you separate it, fan man, it comes up the actual, I guess his name is James Miller.
Yes.
And he disappeared, according to.
He's no longer with us.
How about that?
Fan man.
I did not know about the fate of fan man, but I remember fan man night, man.
It was crazy.
Caesar's Palace.
They did it outside. That was an outside boxing.
Yeah, I know. And he fans into the arena. Like, what's he thinking?
And missed the ring. And then
the fans just beat him to a pulp. And then the entourage.
Yeah. It's not good. I got a couple people saying the 89 Northridge earthquake.
Oh, but that's. But that, come on. No, we're talking about. You know,
yeah, we're talking.
No, but you're San Francisco.
The San Francisco, earthquake,
right?
Yeah.
Where the World Series got interrupted.
Yeah, the game hadn't started yet.
No, we're not talking about
natural disasters.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
Come on.
Yeah,
we're talking about just the band coming out on the field.
Yeah, weird stuff happening.
And I was there at the Super Bowl that went dark, and Ray Lewis.
Thinks something
was up fishy. By somebody because the Ravens were kicking the 49ers' ass.
Yeah.
And then San Francisco got a considerable amount of momentum after the lights came back on. And that's why Ray thought that something, you know, hey, this game's getting out of control. We need to be closer or something. It's crazy.
34-minute delay. That was insane.
I remember it. I was in the NFL Network suite. I'll drop names.
I think I was doing the highlight for the network that night.
I was in the NFL Network suite with Sir Paul McCartney.
Wow.
And Will Ferrell.
Jeez.
That's how I spent the blackout.
That's pretty good.
Getting
story.
A photograph with Paul McCartney.
Oh, yeah, you have a selfie.
Which is still my photograph on my Instagram page.
As it should be.
At Rich Eisen. I believe it still is, right? I don't think I will ever change that. Let me make sure.
I'm looking to.
No, I changed it.
You did?
Yeah, to my Michigan photo. Why would I do something so stupid?
You should change it back.
Me and McCartney. I remember I went up to him because he was asking questions like, hey, when's the lights coming back on?
Rich baby, when's the lights coming back on?
I mean, literally, it was bizarre. Like, hold on, Sir Paul, let me find out. Like, because, you know, I was the source of information. I'm the NFL Network guy in the NFL Network suite. Like, let's go.
Did you call him Sir?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it would have been good.
And sure enough, you know who was in the NFL Network suite this past Super Bowl? McCartney. Again, I believe, this is what I've been told, part of his doing the halftime show in Jacksonville is... He gets to go to Super Bowls every year. And he's been in the NFL Network suite for a lot of them. I saw him this year and I saw him.
That's amazing.
There as well.
Where was he in Minnesota?
And of course, you know, I did tell Will Ferrell, I'm like, Will, look, will you just plug it back in? Come on.
Ray Lewis, though, really
Where's
does
the plug,
think
Will?
Something weird.
Where's
happened.
The plug? Did you kick it out of the wall?
You watch the game with Paul McCartney, though.
Hey, man. Well, I didn't watch it with him.
But, I mean.
I did tell him down in front. Actually, no. That was what band was it? Oh, God. They were in the NFL Network suite for the Super Bowl that the Saints won in Miami. What? They were like big New Orleanians. Oh, I forget the name. But they kept on getting up. They sat in the front row. And they got up. Out of their seats, literally for every play. You know those fans who are just yes. like, you know, who are gain of one on second and eight.
Woo! Woo! Great job!
I'm serious. Like it was a game. So like, let's go. Oh, I forget what they were. Who they were?
That's funny.
I did tell them sit down. I'm serious, but I spoke for everyone else in the play. You know,
down in
they
front.
Got you know the Saints stopped the Colts. You know, on second and five, made it a third and three. They were like screaming. And it's just like, come on. It's a marathon, not a sprint. I know you're in the Super Bowl for the first time ever.
You're excited.
You've been dreaming of it. I get it. First quarter, I get it. Third quarter, though?
Act like you've been here before.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Yeah, I forget who they were. I need to find out who they were.
Rich, I remember being
I got to look it up. Pop bands from New Orleans, I forget who they were.
I remember being at a Clippers game once, and Paul McCartney was in the stands,
yes.
And it was unbelievable. Like, they'd show him on the big screen, they'd play his song, he would stand up and clap and dance to his song, he would jump up when they did the T-shirt toss, like, he was sitting there trying to grab T-shirts. Like,
oh, he's locked in.
His
family's there,
too.
He's
having the time of his life.
His family was there. He's locked in. He's not just there. He's not just there waiting for the candy apple cart to come along outside the suite.
Oh. But watching Paul McCartney try to jump and catch T-shirts that are being shot in the crowd is pretty funny.
Have you come up with a list over there?
There's too many bands.
There's too many of them. I guess so, yeah. Name me a guitarist from Nashville. Name me a good singer from Nashville. I'm sorry, I forget, but I was so pissed off.
Oh, is this a rock band? A hip hop band?
No, it's like a pop. It's like a new pop. It's like, at the time, they were like a new fresh face pop band. Yeah. I forget who they were.
Yeah. And they were at the Super Bowl.
Oh, God, they would not sit down. They would not sit down.
I threw up another poll, too. If you were Sean Payton, who would you start this week? Taysom or Jameis?
I'm sure. You know what? Let's find out at the end of the show. I'll text Sean Payton and tell him this is what our fans think. This is our scientific poll of if you were Sean, on the outside looking in, not seeing anything in practice, what would you do?
62% Jameis.
Of course they're going to say that. I'm telling you, Taysom Hill's going to work out.
Somebody picked him up in my league.
Of course. I tried to get him. I couldn't get him because you're going to get quarterback numbers out of the tight end spot this week.
Yeah, the guy I'm playing in fantasy picked him.
Hour number two coming up, Jamal Adams. We're still here on Peacock, though. My gosh. You're going to get a tight end. You're going to get quarterback numbers out of the tight end. He's going to lead all tight ends in scoring this week. Hands down. What do you think? Dallas Goddard's going to throw 15 passes? At least?
But in my league, he's only listed as a QB. He's not listed as a tight end.
In what league is he tight end?
Every ESPN fantasy league.
Oh, I play CBS.
Oh, really?
He's listed just
quarterback. They have kept his tight end designation for this week.
And Yahoo, he's a quarterback.
Yeah.
ESPN is keeping the tight end designation for the week.
That seems irresponsible.
Well, that's the way it was during everybody's waiver wire.
Did someone get him in Whirlpool Despair?
He's already been. Dude, in our Alice in Chains league, every player is already, because they expanded the bench to like 15 players this year. And then.
How many teams do you have? How many teams are in
that league?
10.
Dude, nobody's available in that league. Literally. I can get Marshawn Lynch as a running back if I want.
You never know.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We got a great poll question, which we'll check on in hour number two when we've got two interviews. And this one, this guy, he did not check with me before leaving the New York Jets.